Turkey's President Erdogan has reassured his people that everything is under control and rescue efforts are on track as the death toll in Turkey and Syria from Monday's quake surges past 11,000. There are fears the final toll could be as high as 20,000, with many families still trapped in collapsed buildings. In Syria, the quakes follow 11 years of civil war, with survivors sharing stories of lives saved as many others died in the rubble.
Most of the buildings of our city collapsed, unfortunately. There are a lot of people died. On the contrary to media, there are more people died than people see on the TV or media on social networking sites. Our city is like a ghost city, and people are waiting for the family. They are waiting for their families, alive or not, because the people are under the buildings, unfortunately.
Now, people are struggling with no food and shelter and bone-chilling cold weather, the lack of resources for rescue efforts and the slow official response. Well, Campbell McDermott, Middle East correspondent for the Daily Telegraph, joins us now from Antakya in southern Turkey. Hi, Campbell. How are things looking where you are?
Kia ora, Corin. Well, this is the third day after the quake now, and we've been here in Antakya for 2 days. And I would say the difference between today and yesterday in terms of the rescue effort is pretty noticeable. Yesterday we were here, there was very little in the way of professional search and rescue efforts. It was all being done in a really ad hoc fashion by just regular volunteers. And since then, the roads across southern Turkey have just been filled with humanitarian response of all stripes, from, you know, just ordinary people driving in to lend a hand to massive truckloads of support. And what that's meant is that the roads are virtually impassable, which is not a good thing. But what we have seen here in Antakya today is a huge amount of support arrived. So there's now food for people to eat, and now there's professional rescue service. And they're still pulling people out today. It's nearly 72 hours since the quake now, which is a really critical length of time in which you have to, you know, increase the chances of getting people out alive. But just in the last half an hour here, we've seen two different people get pulled from the rubble alive, which by this point, everyone says it's a minor miracle, but it doesn't really kind of change the tenor of the mood for people. There's a bit of a cheer goes up, and certainly for the search and rescuers, it's an emotional moment, but they go off in the ambulance and then people just go back to it and there's still people alive. And everywhere we go, people are saying, you know, we know there are people alive in this building, and it's just a question of being able to reach them. But the thing is, the longer it goes on, the less chance there is of getting them out alive, because it's so cold. Mm. And these people haven't had anything to drink, and they're crushed under tons of concrete in many cases.
Campbell, are you able to help us out to understand what's happening in Syria? I mean, it's difficult to get information, I guess, in an area that a lot of countries obviously don't recognise the Syrian regime. There are sanctions. What is your understanding about how they're faring over the other side of the border?
Well, you've got the government-controlled bits of Syria, which are quite difficult for journalists to get visas to enter. And then you've got the northwest, which is the last rebel-controlled bit of Syria. That's Idlib province and some of the countryside around there. And that's filled with off the top of my head, of at least 4 million people. There was about a million there pre-war, and now that's filled up with refugees from that last 10 years of war, longer now. And it already had critical humanitarian needs before this earthquake. There's only one crossing that the UN is able to use to go in there every 6 months that has to be renewed. And Russia, which supports the Syrian government, is often reluctant to extend that because, you know, they see it as a violation of Syrian sovereignty. So that's an ongoing debate every year about getting in enough aid before the earthquake. Now it's just, you know, it's incomprehensible. But where we are right now, it's quite hard to get up-to-date information about what's happening, both because there's not really any Western journalists there. You know, there's local journalists on the ground, but the border's closed for journalists going in. But also where we are in Antakya, I've got barely any internet. It comes and goes. So we're just trying to do the work we can on the ground here and figure out what we can see and hear around us. But, you know, as for updates beyond what I can see, I know very little of what's going on. Just, you know, trying to stay in touch with my desk and let them know I'm okay and, you know, hopefully be able to file a story and maybe get, you know, pictures and video out if we can find some connection. But, you know, that will involve probably driving out of town and heading back into areas that are less badly affected where things like cell phone service is still functioning.
Campbell, I mean, it really does sound like there's a lot going on around you, a lot of sirens. Is this just, whereabouts exactly are you? Are you pretty close to where people are being pulled out?
Oh, I mean, right, looking at it as we speak. And I mean, that those sirens that you hear, they don't stop. And those are ambulances coming in and coming out. Some of them are rescue vehicles that are just trying to get the traffic out of the road. But they've done I'm on the main road north that comes out of Antakya towards Adana. So that's the main highway, and that would go through the city out to Syria on the other side. They've managed to clear that of most of the traffic today except rescue vehicles, and that's just ambulances going in, ferrying up. I think it's hard to be sure, but I think that's people that are being rescued in many cases, and that just doesn't stop. That's
the whole
time we've been here, nonstop.
Campbell, thank you very much for the update. Really appreciate it. Campbell McDowell there, Middle East correspondent for the Daily Telegraph.